A reading from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Thus says the Lord, rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you. A just savior is he. Meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
I will extol you, O my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all, and compassionate toward all his works.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and holy in all his works. The Lord lifts up all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What are you yoked to? What are you yoked to? Or for you grammatical Puritans, to what are you yoked? Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's probably one of his most popular and often quoted sayings. But what does it mean? Have you ever stopped to think about it? Now, we're talking about a Y-O-K-E yoke and not a Y-O-L-K. It's not part of an egg, okay? Talking about something totally different. In the culture of Jesus' day, and even, in fact, probably up until the invention of gasoline engines, the yoke was a very common sight. It was a means of harnessing the power of beasts of burden. And it was normally made out of wood, and it would go across the shoulders of the animal or a group of animals, and it would enable them to do something useful, to pull something heavy, like pull a wagon, or pull a plow, or maybe walk in a circle and turn a grinding stone, or a pump for a well. A good yoke was custom fitted, hand carved, designed specifically for the animal that wore it, so they wouldn't be harmed by it, so that it would make it easier for them to do their job, to do it well, to do it a long time, and that the yoke wouldn't hurt them while they were doing it. So when Jesus is asking us to take his yoke upon ourselves, he's asking us to be his beasts of burden. And he promises us that we'll be able to easily do that work that he asks for us, the work for his kingdom. In the Gospel of Matthew, that work is revealed very near the end of the Gospel, right before Jesus' ascension. We call it the Great Commission. It's where Jesus told his disciples, and us as well, by the way, go out, make disciples of all the world, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls himself meek, humble of heart, just like the Messiah is described in our first reading by the prophet Zechariah. He's not an overbearing, monstrous Lord cracking the whip on us. He's gentle. He's patient with us. He knows that we may have a little trouble putting on that yoke. But it's a yoke that he will custom design for us based on our personality, based on our talents, those gifts God gave us to enable us to do our work. They'll be different for everybody. In fact, in the Greek of this gospel where it was first written, there's a little bit of wordplay. At the time that this gospel was written, not very many people were literate. They couldn't read. And so using wordplay helped people remember things. So in the Greek, the word for Christ is Christos. You may have heard me say this before if you've ever come to one of my baptismal homilies. The word that Matthew chose for easy, among the many he could have chosen, is Christos. So Christos is Christos. It's a little play on words to remember. Jesus is easy. His burden is light. It's a great contrast to those laboring under a heavy burden. And for Matthew, that heavy burden is the Old Testament, the Old Law, the Law of Moses. Throughout Matthew's gospel, he makes comparisons. He sets Jesus up to be seen as the new Moses, the new lawgiver. And the new law he gives is easy to follow, not like the Old Testament law, which everyone pretty much agreed was very difficult to follow, especially with all the requirements that had been added on year after year after year by generation after generation of scribes and the people who were supposedly wise and learned, people who did not really grasp the mysteries of God, mysteries which Jesus now reveals to the little ones. That's everyday people. That's people like you and me. And the mystery he reveals is the mystery of the Holy Trinity, that God is a God of love. He's not a love God like the fertility cults that's plagued the Old Testament, okay? He is a God of love, a community of persons, three in one in the Trinity, that are so deeply in love with one another that this love is great enough to encompass even us and to be an example for us to live because we were created in the image and likeness of God. This loving God bestows on us his mercy, lifting us when we are down, forgiving us our sins when we truly repent and ask for it. This love from God is why Jesus asks us to love God in return with all our heart, which should be an easy task. And to love our neighbor as ourselves, which can be an easy task if we give ourselves willingly to God's grace and guidance, and if we willingly take on the yoke of Christ. So what other yokes are there in the world? There's plenty of them to choose from. We could reject Christ's yoke, put on the yoke of sin, the yoke of hatred, the yoke of selfishness, the yoke of unforgiveness. And all of these yokes will be burdensome, will be heavy, will prevent us from being happy. When we yoke ourselves to sin, we're never happy, except perhaps for a brief, fleeting moment until our sin is revealed to us in all of its ugliness. When we yoke ourselves to hatred, we can never be happy because hatred is the opposite of love, which God is. And that hatred and prejudice will burn us up, consume us in the fire of its blinding heat. When we yoke ourselves to selfishness, we can never be happy because we were created for community. Just like God is a community of persons in the Trinity. No one who lives selfishly can ever live in community, so wrapped up in their own cares and desires that the world they live in is too small for anyone else, too small for any happiness. When we yoke ourselves to unforgiveness, we can never be happy because each unforgiven offense against us piles one atop the other until the weight is so great that we can't move it no matter how much we strain with that yoke. So therefore, let us be resolved today to take up the yoke of Jesus, placing it willingly on our shoulders, to be his beasts of burden and carry out his command of love of God and love of neighbor, taking on his work, which he has handed on to us, to evangelize the entire world. Today, when we come forward to receive him, body and blood, soul and divinity, let's take a moment to ask him to put his yoke upon us, to guide us by it for his work in his kingdom. The yoke we choose will either weigh us down or free us to do the work God created us for, to live a life of love. God love you.